This is Express FM.
Supported by Highbury College. We are passionately pumping.
Jamal Lowe's onside. The flag stayed down. Jamal Lowe, nonchalant, brilliant. Pompey will be promoted at this rate.
Cheltenham Town, that'll stick in my mind forever.
Pure, unadulterated Pompey.
You can't be involved with this football club and not be emotional. The club is special.
Action and reaction.
It's an exciting challenge. I'm proud to be the manager of Portsmouth.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
The whole stadium erupted singing Play Up Pompey. It was a surreal moment.
To do it with a club like Portsmouth was just incredible. That was the reason why I joined the club.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
It was a hugely important day for many reasons on Saturday, but undoubtedly the biggest of those was the return of the FA Cup. The Blues made the journey to Portman Road to take on promotion rivals Ipswich Town, who made Pompey work hard for the win.
Chance here for Norwood, he's in for Ipswich. Norwood has scored! We're all level here at Portman Road.
Kenny Jackett's men were biding their time, but in the end came up trumps.
Lofted into the area, a glance on, and it's going to go in the back of the net, but is it offside? No, the flag stays down, and I think Sean Raggett's going to claim the goal.
That 110th minute strike on the line from an offside position not only secured a place for Pompey in round two, but a spot for Sean Raggett's face etched onto my backside. Between now and seven, we'll also be looking ahead to the Blues' final EFL Trophy group stage fixture, and Kenny Jackett also has his say.
You know, they'll be looking to play rather than train because they've done a lot of training now.
We've got it all tonight. Reaction to the weekend's FA Cup triumph, a preview of tonight's second round draw and a little look ahead to the next game too. So be sure to stick around and stay plugged into us here at Express FM because it's time once again for the Monday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
A very good evening and the warmest of welcomes along to tonight's instalment of the Football Hour here on Express FM, your home of passionate Pompey match day coverage. Wherever and whenever the Blues are playing, we'll be there to bring you every kick of the ball. This season, the Football Hour is being driven to you by Stagecoach Across the South. Find out more on what they have to offer, as well as their latest COVID-related guidelines by heading to stagecoach.co.uk. And as always, this here is the platform for you back home to get your thoughts, questions and predictions across to the rest of the fan base. We'd love to hear from you over the course of the next hour or so, even if you just fancy checking in and saying hi. 81400 is the number you can text, but be sure to include the word Express at the very start of your message. Otherwise, we won't get it. Someone will, but it won't be us. If you don't fancy that, you can email Pompey at expressfm.com, tweet using at expressfm, or find us on Facebook, facebook.com/PompeyLife. But first of all, we're going to take a listen back to the highlights of Pompey's last game. On Saturday afternoon, the Blues travelled to Suffolk to take on a side expected to be challenging with Pompey for a place in the Championship come the end of the season. Ipswich Town were the hosts at Portman Road for this FA Cup first round tie, and your commentary team consisted of Andy Moon and Guy Whittingham.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
A wonderful goal!
Every second of the action is right here.
Shoots and scores!
90 minutes of passionately Pompey commentary.
He's gone!
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
But Kenny Jackett insists an FA Cup run can help with the promotion chances. The past 2 years, Pompey have been trying to avoid an upset at non-league opponents. Today's task is very different here at Ipswich Town. Portsmouth trying to win possession. They've got it through Williams' heart. The pitch, he's fouled, is he? Yes. Free kick Portsmouth, right of centre, 30 yards out, 0-0. Tring steps over. Curtis, shot on goal, and it's into the back of the net. I think it's come back off the goalkeeper, off the post, and it's just trickled over the line where it just sat there before anyone from Ipswich could try and scoop it out. It had crossed the line and Portsmouth have the lead in the first quarter hour of this game here at Portman Road. Ipswich 0, Portsmouth 1. Ronan Kirk. Cannon turns one way than the other to Naylor. Naylor to hit it and it's into the net. It took a deflection, but Tom Naylor's strike has found its way into the bottom corner and we've only played 13 minutes and Portsmouth have doubled their lead. You wouldn't exactly call that effort a rocket, but it's beaten the goalkeeper. It's in. It's Ipswich 0, Portsmouth 2. Ipswich go long down the middle, and this is a chance. It's nodded down, looking for Sears. Loose in the penalty area. Great chance for Nolan, and he scored. Ipswich have pulled one back. sloppy from Pompey at the back. They've totally dominated this first half. And in the final seconds before the interval, a cheap goal. John Nolan, his fourth of the season. It's Ipswich Town 1, Norwood. Oh, and there's a real chance here for Norwood. He's in for Ipswich. Norwood has scored. We're all level here at Portman Road. Portsmouth defence breached so easily. And 20 minutes into the second half, it's Ipswich Town 2. Portsmouth put loose in the area. It must be forced in. No, somehow Pompey have got it away. Minoga was in there. He wasn't the only one. Still not fully away. Edwards, right corner of the box, stands it up in the area. Header gave by McGilvery. It's loose and close. Has put it over the bar. The game was there for the taking. And Close puts his head in his hands. That was the moment. That was the chance. Missed. Still Ipswich 2, Pompey 2. Head goes in hands and... hands on hips from Ipswich because the full-time whistle has gone here at Portman Road. The score is Ipswich Town 2, Portsmouth 2. And what both teams have got is probably what both teams do not want, extra time. It is extra time in the FA Cup first round tie between these two sides as Harness wins the ball for Portsmouth, drives to the penalty area. He's got options left and right. He's going to shoot. Harness hits the post and it won't ricochet into the path of Harrison, and Ipswich will clear it away. Harness to take, right footed. What can he do? Lost it into the area. A glance on and it's going to go in the back of the net, but he's in offside. No, the flag stays down, and I think Sean Raggett's going to claim the goal. He must have been offside. He was past the goalkeeper, but the flag stays down. Nicolaisen's header was saved and Sean Raggett was there to force it in on the goal line, and Portsmouth have taken the lead. It's Ipswich 2, Portsmouth 3. Minoga's going forward. Minoga sprinting. Minoga's one-on-one with the goalkeeper. Hadji Minoga to end it. Over the bar. He's tried to chip the goalkeeper and he can't believe he's not got his first Pompey goal, and he needs to get up off the turf and run back 70 yards into position. That is the final act of this match here at Portman Road. But Ipswich's terrible FA Cup record continues and Portsmouth are through.
Every second of the action is right here. This is 93.7 Express FM. Pompey Live.
A listen back there to the highlights of Pompey's 3-2 extra time victory over the Tractor Boys at the weekend. A win which secured the Blues a place in the hat for tonight's second round draw. We'll be going through all of the numbers in the hat a little later in the show this evening. First of all, however, I'm going to rein in the thoughts of my two guests who have so kindly agreed to join me over the phone lines tonight, and we'll start off with Mr. Sam Carter. Sam, a very good evening to you, mate, and thank you for calling in.
Thank you, Jake. It's a pleasure as always.
Sam, Pompey started the game on Saturday very well, 2-0 up after a quarter of an hour and controlling much of that first half. What on earth happened?
Well, literally was the oldest cliche in the book, wasn't it? A tale of two halves. We obviously, like you said, came storming out, got those two goals. Probably should have got another. I think I wouldn't have been surprised if we got another goal, but I don't know. I'm not sure what happened. Obviously, Nolan got that snapshot chance and managed to finish it off. And 2-1, going in at 2-1 was probably a real kick to the players being in such a commanding position. And then fair play to Ipswich, because it must have been a bit of a shock to have Pompey come up and do that at their home ground. But they got back into the game, and then fair play to us, because we ended up winning. So
yeah,
it was a real roller coaster, wasn't it? But I've got to look back at it and say that I'm pretty proud of that performance. Obviously, we've lost Watmore and Brown almost at the exact same time, and Nicolaisen's had, I think he's ready for the first team, but he's maybe been chucked in a bit ahead of schedule, maybe coming into a new country and everything. And then Pring looked all right on the left as well. And yeah, no, fair play.
Yeah.
Good performance.
On the other end of the line, Sam, we have Jeff Harris. Jeff, same again to you, my friend. Good evening and thanks for joining us.
Hi, Jake. Thanks for having me back.
A pleasure as always, as you know, I said to Sam as well. Perhaps a little bit of complacency creeping in for the Blues at the weekend then, Jeff. But the most important thing is, as Sam has mentioned, they got the job done and we're into the hat for round two.
Exactly. And, you know, Ipswich, made 9 changes to their starting 11 on Saturday. So, like Sam said, it was a tale of two halves. I think the first half we showed consistency and we had the momentum on the back of that Lincoln game. But the second half, we just you could see the players were leggy, they were tired. And fair play to Ipswich, you know, they came back in, but they, I feel they expended so much energy in that second half, towards the end of the first half and second half to get back in the game, that come extra time, they were equally as tired as the Pompey team. So it was a level playing field. And I think with the majority of that Pompey first team going into extra time, having played together for quite a few weeks now, that consistency and momentum just carried us over the line in extra time.
Yeah, it was another away win for Pompey then, Sam. 6 on the bounce in all competitions. The first time it's happened in 13 years. It's been quite the start to the season on the road, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. It's funny because we're always so famous for, you know, Fortress Fratton and being so good. And then all of a sudden we're not there and our fortunes turn. And I guess it goes to show that we really do have an effect on the team. But obviously away form is something that's so, so important in football. If you can pick up the points away, you should be able to rely on the points at home as well to really, like, you know, push your season forward. So if we do end up in the back in stadiums, hopefully we can get those home points going again. That home form really, really bounce back up there.
Yeah,
and really capitalise on that.
You mentioned already, Jeff, that Ipswich made 9 changes to their starting 11 on Saturday. But, I mean, if you look at their team, it wasn't necessarily a weak team. They still had some very decent players within that side as well. And one of the most important things that I looked out for in that game was the performances of Sean Ragged and Rasmus Nicolaisen, who managed to keep quiet Ollie Hawkins.
Yeah, I was looking forward to that battle. It was a quite interesting battle. Now, we were fortunate that the penalty wasn't given on Hawkins from Nicolaisen. He definitely pulled him to the ground. But I think over the years, over the seasons, Hawkins has built up a kind of reputation of going down. Obviously, we saw that in the Pompey colours. Now we're seeing it as a away fan, seeing what he was capable of. And it was an interesting battle, I thought.
Yeah. Let's look at some of the emails coming into us for now, guys. Alan Swift says, hi, Jake and co. I think we had a reality check on Saturday. We were doing really well up until Ipswich, who are one of our main contenders for an automatic spot. They brought on some first-teamers. We were then left gasping for a winning goal. That's the strength of promotion opposition. It's really tough. I keep saying it, but I can only see us as playoff contenders and look at our record there, and they are all tough teams. I agree with the fact that the team looks great when on fire, but it lacks consistency. It will be a seesaw season. Let's play all of our reserves tomorrow. I don't think Kenny's contract will be renewed come next year after 4 years of struggle, says Alan Swift. Thank you to Alan in Southsea, who then concludes his email, trying to be positive. Thank you, Alan. We know you always try and be positive. We know that. Linda May on the emails as well. Good evening to you, Linda. She says, Saturday was a good win because I think we lost our way after we lost Cannon and they scored just before half time. This gave them a way back into the match and they did this after half time and levelled the game. We were lucky with the ref's decisions that went in our favour. Brackets the offside goal. We did up our game in the extra time, which I think showed character, which at the start of the season we would not have done. The only downside is the injuries we are picking up in nearly every game lately. Play up Pompey, says Linda on the emails. And it's a good point raised by Linda there, Sam, is the injuries that Pompey have been, you know, been picking up of late, you know, adding to Michael Jacobs, Jack Watmore, Lee Brown, who suffered an injury in the warm-up before the Lincoln game on Tuesday night. And now Andy Cannon came off injured in that win over Ipswich on Saturday. Some real cause for concern for Kelly Jackett.
Yeah, definitely. It's the nature of this season was always going to be challenging for all teams. But bring it back to the salary cap, and you just think, how could they bring something like that in a season when almost every week it's Tuesday, Saturday, Tuesday, yeah. Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday, when we've had to seriously trim down squads, and every team is like relying on what, about 18 to 20 first team players and a bunch of youngsters. It's just it's rough, but I think it's going to carry on as well. There'll be a fair few injuries this season where I wouldn't be surprised if we've got one player out in almost every game from now on. But I think, looking at our squad depth this year and the performances of those that have had to step in, it's fairly promising. It really is. And as I'm sure we'll talk about him a lot later on, but obviously Hadji coming in. There's youngsters around the first team that hopefully can follow in his footsteps and put in a real performance when they're called upon.
Yeah. In fact, we'll talk about Hadji right now then, Sam, and I'll ask Jeff this question first of all. Hadji Manoga, of course, he made his league debut for Pompey last Tuesday night against Ipswich, only a couple of minutes towards the end of the game, but nonetheless, fantastic achievement for the lad. He made his FA Cup debut at the weekend against Ipswich and got a few more minutes in that game and actually put in a very decent shift. Almost came close to scoring as well, but didn't quite get on the score sheet to make it 4-2. But what did you make of his performance on Saturday and in against Ipswich last week? Do you think that Hadji is a player now coming into his stride and perhaps even on the cusp of a regular first team position?
It's a hard one because you can see the benefits that, you know, Hadji brings to the team. He's young, he's full of energy, you know, he wants to do well, and all the positives that he brings to the team, you know, to deep into extra time, getting onto that ball in the 18-yard box. And you know, I couldn't help but think if he'd been playing for two or three more years, he would have buried that because he would have had the composure. And it's that nerves, isn't it? He's bearing down on goal. He's in on goal. He has a rush of blood to the head and you know, narrowly goes over. He's still got a lot to learn, but is he ready for the first team? I would say as long as he can keep those energy levels up, and he avoids those silly tackles. Now, he's only doing those silly tackles because he wants to do well. He wants to impress. He's stepping up from youth football into men's football. He knows he has to be harder. And that will come with experience. What was interesting on Sunday, I was watching the Liverpool-Man City game. They were talking about Kyle Walker and saying the mistakes he makes in the tackles in and around the penalty area. But what he offers going forward is the plus points. And I see that with Hadji. You know, that energy to get up and down the wing, get back into position, and then 30, 40 seconds later, he's down the other end of the pitch.
Yeah.
You know, he's got that in abundance, and I'm sure the coaching team will work with him and get him into the right positions and make those decisions that he needs to make at the right time going forward.
Yeah. Okay, then let's take a quick look to see how we're doing for time. Right, we're just coming up to 20 past six now, so we better get a move on with proceedings, lad. We'll come on to the subject of Hadji Manoga again after the break. We've got plenty more to come here on the show between now and seven, including further reaction to Saturday's win, a look at Pompey's potential FA Cup second round opponents, and a preview of the Blues' next fixture featuring a pre-match interview with manager Kenny Jackett.
We do need a break. I mean, we have 9 days from Ipswich until the next league game, which is Plymouth.
Keep getting your text, tweets and emails into us, please, to Blues fans. All the usual ways to get involved. It's at ExpressFM on Twitter, pompey@expressfm.com on the emails. You can text your name and message, starting with the word Express, to 81400, or you can head over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/PompeyLive. We want to know whether or not you believe Hadji Manoga is ready to assert himself as a regular in the Pompey first team, how you think the Blues will cope throughout November with a handful of players missing through injury, and your score prediction for tomorrow night's Papa John's trophy tie with West Ham under-21s. All of that and more is still to come. You're listening to the Monday Football Hour on Express FM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Good evening and welcome back to part two of this Monday Football Hour in association with Stagecoach Across the South, getting you from A to B without a fuss and at a reasonable price too. Be sure to download the app from your relevant app store to plan your next journey. We're going to come back onto the subject of Hadji Manoga then, Sam, and someone you didn't quite get to talk about in that first part of the show, but we'll carry on now. Hadji Manoga, I asked Jeff the question, is he ready to really assert himself as a first team regular for Pompey in the coming weeks? What do you think about that? Because we've got a few injuries racking up now, especially in defence. Do you think maybe he could be called upon in what is such a congested period of fixtures?
Yeah, I think we can call upon him. I think it's a bit too soon to be talking about him winning the place permanently. But I mean, Jeff said about his attacking composure and obviously growing up as a defender. I mean, he's not going to have that yet, really. But his defensive composure really did actually impress me. There was that one instance of right back in our own box, and he juggled it round the defender and started like running out of defence. And it's he just did show real signs of quality there that you don't expect from someone making their, well, what, second for first team proper appearance, if we don't count the Football League trophy. And I think he's just got that natural ability. You've got to remember as well, I think, when you look at like the Ben Closes and those of that age group, maybe Connor Chaplin, they grew up in an academy that was run by a Premier League club that they were, when they were school kids, they were playing for an academy that was a Premier League club. Whereas Hadji, obviously, he's 18. The last, what, 6-7 years, we've been in the lower reaches with barely any money for funding, and he's clearly got that ability. England under 17s called him up. I think he got minutes then, and so I think he's capped. So he's really got that natural ability, and it's just about whether he can get that game intelligence, get used to it, and obviously League One is a tough way of doing that. You come into quite a physical aspect when you look at some of the strikers in this league and the wingers that he'll be up against. But I've been very impressed with him, and I think he's really got the skill set that could make him a big, big part of our future.
Yeah. Blake O'Neill agrees with you, Sam, on Facebook. He says, but Hadji Manoga is looking much better. Even if there was potential for his challenge to have been a red card on Saturday, I'd keep Johnson starting and give Manoga minutes in the Papa John's trophy and off of the bench as well. Brett Holdaway says, I would persist with Hadji, a great prospect with good feet. The positional sense will grow with appearances. I really like him as a player, says Brett on Facebook, and a few more on Twitter as well. Mick Cutler says if he cuts out the reckless tackles, he could be a very decent acquisition. Dean Phillips agrees with Mick, says he looks a half-decent player, but needs to be careful with some of his challenges. And Jackets Jacket on Twitter says, but he's got athleticism and composure too, but being reckless and excessive in tackles, which are borderline, would in a higher-paced, better league, see him sent off. So far, known for two tackles which he wasn't in control of, Saturday and against Southend, both could be seen as excessive and dangerous. Your thoughts on those comments, Jeff, because as we all know, Hadji, as Sam has quite rightfully kind of summed up there, is a very talented player. He'll be a very decent kind of option for us heading into this season and even beyond too, we hope. However, do you believe that maybe his inexperience at a Football League level is starting to show a little bit?
Yeah, you know, just
that's what you get with young players, don't you? You know, you've got to start somewhere.
You have, and you know, that's what I was trying to make the point before the break, is that, you know, he is young, he is inexperienced. You can see he's got talent in abundance, but my only fear is that if you try and coach that tackling out of him, you take a main part of his game away. You need to work on his decision making. When does he need to go for the tackle? Does he need to lunge in from 3 to 5 yards away, or can he just go in and press? Is the press more effective than doing one of those sliding tackles? You know, we were very fortunate, I think, on Saturday that we had kind of an old school referee. Now, the referee was shocking, but that was like watching a referee from, you know, the 80s, early 90s, where, you know, had you flew into a tackle, you see that high up in the leagues, that's a booking, if not a sending off. The referee pointed to the ball and said he won the ball. But he was off the floor, and if you slow it down, it looks a lot, or it always looks a lot worse than what it is in real life. But if you go back to the Charlton game, where you saw Prattley dive in on Johnson, there's no difference.
Yeah,
Prattley never even touched Johnson, yet Pompey fans are screaming that should be a card, so on and so forth. Yet Hadji does it, and everyone's like, "No, that's not a booking. That's not that you won the ball." So, you know, what is it? You know, Pompey fans always look at things through, you know, blue tinted glasses. But I just fear that if you try and stop him making those tackles, you take a big part. He is physical. Don't get me wrong. He's 18 years old and he's 6'1". Has he stopped growing yet? You know, he's gonna bulk out in the next 2 or 3 years. You know, he's gonna build up that upper body strength. And I just think if you take that part away from his game, You limit his growth in the game. So you just need to work on his decision making.
Yeah. Let's move on with some more talking points from Saturday then. And just very quickly, Sam, Pompey's opening goal, Ronan Curtis, with a, it was a great free kick. However, the dubious goal system, whoever decides, you know, who the goal goes down to, do you think they were right in pointing out, but in fact it was an own goal off of the goalkeeper? Because whilst it was a fantastic free kick, taking nothing away from Ronan, it did cannon off the post, rebound back off the keeper's back and into the goal.
Yeah, well, that's one of those, isn't it? Ronan's going to claim it all day long. But at the end of the day, it only went in because of the keeper. So, that is an unfortunate one for him. It was a brilliant free kick, but, you know, to get it round the wall and bend him back in like that is brilliant. Yeah. But unfortunately, it won't be his.
And not quite a screamer, Jeff, but Tom Naylor got on the score sheet as well just minutes later. It was a shot from outside the box. It was admittedly quite a tame effort, but it was enough to get the deflection and loop over the goalkeeper to make it 2-0. And it's good to see Tom Naylor in amongst the goals too.
Yeah, he's scored a couple of those over the last couple of years, hasn't he? And the only game I didn't bet on Tom Naylor to score a goal in 90 minutes, he goes and puts one in. And the game I back Ronan Curtis, it goes down to his own goals. So I was a bit gutted about that. But, you know, it's good to see Tom on the score sheet because, you know, we've seen those in front of the fatten end and it's hit those Z's 9 times out of 10, haven't they? So.
Yeah. Do you know what? It's funny, but also sad, Jeff, that you should mention bets. Because I made quite an unfortunate one myself on Saturday. I'm sure most of you back home have heard or seen on social media, but I'm just going to play you a bit from Pompey Live after the game where Liam revealed all.
Pompey have beaten Ipswich Town by 3-2 this afternoon. Isn't that great, boys?
Do you know what's better?
Jake? Wait. Let me do it.
Can I just use a little line I prepared in the game for
Go on in.
Jake Smith, prepare your derriere.
Oh, dear. Right, Pompey fans, if you're out of the loop, I tweeted it about 5-10 minutes ago, that off air, we heard a conversation between Jake and Ryan, where Jake stated that if Sean Raggett somehow scores the winner... For the game, Jake will get Sean Raggett's face tattooed on a body part I will not repeat because it's not 9 o'clock yet. Jake Smith, who scored the winner?
Well, it was offside.
Who scored the winner?
The goal was clearly offside. I don't know what the linesman hasn't seen,
Jake,
there, but
there's
that
no
shouldn't
VAR.
It should be 2-2. It should be penalties.
There's no VAR in the FA Cup.
Do you know what's even more of a hammer blow, Liam? It's the fact that Rasmus Nicolaisen leapt highest above the defence to header it towards goal.
Yeah.
And that was going in. But Sean Raggett clearly heard what I said and thought, nah.
Can you hear my violin playing, Jake?
We do have fun on Pompey Live, lads, but not one of my proudest moments. And yeah, that's a life lesson. Don't make bets, people. Don't make silly, silly bets.
I just want to know when you've got it booked in.
Well, it's funny because 3.5 years ago, I put a tweet out. 3 games before the end of the League Two season, Pompey were somewhat 10, 12 points behind Doncaster in the table. I put a tweet out saying that if we won the league title, I'd go bold. And I didn't actually get round to doing that until lockdown this year, and I had an excuse for that. But now I've got to get a tattoo of Sean Raggett's face on my behind. So
and I saw Sean Raggett actually commented your tweet.
Yeah,
didn't
he did.
So Sean, if you're listening,
and linesman, if you're listening, by the way, come on, that was offside. Never have I wanted to put. No, I'm joking. I always want Pompey goals to happen, but. In case you're wondering, Pompey fans, I will get it done. I'm not going to back out of this. So I'm not going to bottle it. Sean Raggett's face will end up on my derriere at some point. Now, we'll wait until after lockdown. We'll wait until things are back open again, until it's safe to do so. But it will happen. I promise you. I'm not going to let you down. And, we're going to move on from that, lads, because I don't want to start crying because, it haunts me thinking about it. Let's go on to the second round draw then. Pompey in the hat for the second round thanks to Sean Raggett's goal. Let's look at some of the teams Pompey could face in round two then. These ties will take place on the first weekend of December. So not long, actually, just over 3 weeks to go until this tie. Let's look at some of the names Pompey could play in the second round. Number one is Newport County. Number two, very interesting ball here, Havant Waterlooville. We'll come on to their win in a few moments' time. Number three, Mansfield. Number four is Crewe. Number five is Peterborough. Number six is Exeter. Bradford are number seven. Eight, Bristol Rovers. Nine, Stockport County. Number 10 is Darlington. Number 11 is Barnet, who beat Burton at the weekend. Number 12 is Chorley, who performed a shock extra-time victory over Wigan. Number 13 is Tranmere Rovers. Number 14 is the winner of Oxford City versus Northampton Town. That takes place later this evening. Number 15 is Morecambe. 16, Yeovil. Number 17 is Crawley, who, by the way, did you see that game yesterday, lads? 6-5
amazing, wasn't
to Crawley
it?
After extra mental. Time. Now, we say that the magic of the FA Cup may have petered out a little bit this season due to the lack of fans at games, but 6-5, I mean, by full time, I think it was somewhat 2-1 to Torquay. It ended 3-3 after 21 minutes of added time. And then it went into extra time, and yeah, 6-5, absolutely mental. Blackpool, number 18. Could Pompey perhaps fancy Blackpool away on a Tuesday night and then Blackpool away on the following Saturday? Number 19, Cheltenham. Number 20, Stevenage. Number 21, last year's opponents, Harrogate Town. Number 22, Gillingham. Number 23, Plymouth. Carlisle are 24. Doncaster Rovers 25, Salford City number 26, and Solihull Moors 27. Hull City are number 28. Number 29, Marine. Number 30 is the winner of Barrow or AFC Wimbledon. Number 31 is Dagenham and Redbridge. Number 32 is Shrewsbury Town. Brackley Town are 33, MK Dons 34. Number 35 is Oldham Athletic. Number 36, Boreham Wood, who beat Southend United at the weekend. Of course, you've got Pompey. That's the boy you want to look out for this evening, ladies and gentlemen. Pompey will be ball number 37. Number 38 is Kings Lynn Town. 39 is Lincoln City. And ball number 40 is Canvey Island. Sam, I'll come to you first of all. A lot of potential opponents for Pompey for the second round, then 39 in total. It is, of course, the next round, round three, when we see the Championship sides and some of the Premier League teams enter the competition as well. But looking at the sides that are left, first of all, not many kind of big League One teams left in the draw. Sunderland knocked out. Wigan knocked out. I know they're bottom of the table, but they're still gone. Ipswich, of course, Pompey knocked out of the weekend. The only kind of major concern I could see kind of Pompey maybe struggling against on paper would be Hull City.
Yeah, there's not too much in the way of, like you said, big League One sides in there. But, I mean, I wouldn't put it past us getting Hull away now. But or definitely what you said earlier with the Blackpool away and Blackpool away week. But I don't ever really look... I'm looking at the list right now and I don't ever look at a list in these early stages and look at any team and think that's easy. Was it Altrincham we had last year or a couple of years back? They obviously aren't anything special in the way of a big side, no disrespect to them, because they did put in a very good performance. And I these teams come into Fratton Park, whether there's fans or not, they'll really want to win there. So I don't actually really have a favoured team. It'd be quite nice to play Havant in a competitive game, to be fair.
It's never
easy. Other than that,
Never easy, Jeff, as Sam's kind of alluding to there. We've played kind of non-league opponents in the past. Aldershot Town, we were beaten quite a few years back after a replay. Last season, we just about got over the line against Altrincham and Harrogate Town as well. Macclesfield a couple of years back as well, that was only a 2-1 victory at Fratton Park. They do tend to be close games, but looking at the sides that I've just named then, I know there are quite a few of them. Who would you like to see Pompey face then? And I believe there probably is only one answer to this question.
I'd like to see us play Havant, or a team of that level. Ryan mentioned it on Saturday in the build up, is that if you can get through to the third round, you're pretty much there or thereabouts in the 100 grand mark in prize money and so on and so forth. And these economic times, that money does go a long way.
Yeah.
The three teams I would like to avoid are Lincoln, because I think play them again, that they'll be really up for it. Hull and Peterborough.
Yeah.
They're the three teams you want to avoid. And we talk about the cup runs for Havant. Havant have had some really good cup runs in the past. So it'd be a really good game to watch Pompey actually play Havant. And we know what they're like in pre-season as well.
Shout out to Havant Waterlooville, by the way, reaching the second round of the FA Cup for only the second time in their history. We know what happened last time, Pompey fans. They got to play Liverpool at Anfield. And they took a 2-1 lead as well, but of course were beaten 5-2 in the end. But what a day that was for Hawks and Pompey fans alike, really. Let's face it, having to Waterlooville, one of our local sides, it's great to see them doing well. And we do hope they can get as far as they can in the competition. Unless, of course, they play Pompey, then we're all blues, aren't we? So Pompey, ball number 37 in tonight's second round FA Cup draw after they beat Ipswich Town on Saturday. Ipswich still have only won one FA Cup match in the last 17 years. Quite a dreadful record for the Tractor Boys. Right then, it's now time to head into our second and final break of this evening's show, but not before we hear the pre-match thoughts of Kenny Jackett ahead of tomorrow evening's Papa John's trophy tie with the West Ham under-21s at Thratton Park. Ollie Marsh caught up with the gaffer at training this morning, first asking if the players have recovered from Saturday's dramatic FA Cup victory.
Yeah, it was, I thought, a terrific cup tie. Two good teams, two sides that are looking to compete at the top of League One. And obviously with the league games coming, you know, everybody wanted to set the tone if they could for the cup game anyway. I thought we had the first half, they had the second. We probably shaded it in extra time. But I do understand as well, the game could have gone either way. And it's just a shame the crowd weren't there to see it, because it was, if you're looking at FA Cup ties, they don't come much better than that. It was a great cup tie between two good teams. So a lot of travelling as well last week, where we're the road to Lincoln on Tuesday night and then Ipswich on Saturday. So, you know, credit to the players for how they came through it.
Looking ahead to tomorrow, will you be ringing in the changes for the Papa John's trophy?
Yeah, definitely we will. It's an opportunity to give some of the younger players a chance as well. You know, one or two of our boys who haven't played, but there won't be many of them. And it will be a very young side tomorrow night. But a good one, because we do need to see those players play at Fratton Park against, you know, a West Ham side that have a strong under-23s this year. And so it'll be a hard game for our young players, but one I'm looking forward to, and a good for myself and my staff to assess these players as they look to try to break into the first team group.
Is it always going to be the case of making a few changes, or is that a reaction to the amount of football that your team have had to play in recent weeks?
I think it suits. We do need a break. I mean, we have 9 days from Ipswich until the next league game, which is Plymouth. Ronan Curtis won't be available because of international call-up, so we have to cover ourselves. But, you know, the players have done very well, and we are risking injury. You know, we have another one Saturday with Andy Cannon. Again, only be out 2 or 3 weeks, but, you know, they're starting to build up. So there is a little bit of a break there. A natural break, a 9-day break, we will take that. But similarly, we have qualified as well for the next round of this particular competition. So, you know, we know that, and the timing is right to give the young players a run out. It's the right thing to do. It's you know, slightly frustrating that we perhaps couldn't put more players out, because, you know, developing and bringing on our own young players is something we need to do as well.
Yeah, and in terms of the fringe players who perhaps haven't been able to find opportunities, is it a good opportunity for them as well?
It is, and, you know, they'll be looking to play rather than train, because they've done a lot of training now, and with limited amount of game time, likes of Alex Bass, players like that, you know, we'll definitely start and, you know, help and blend in, we think, with the younger players.
For those players, in terms of the training, have you sort of seen what you need for them in training? Have they sort of kept their attitude right?
Their attitude's been first class, and their fitness as well, been very, very good. And you know, they're pushing and will continue to push for a first team shirt. And you know, I've got confidence in all of those lads that if they do get the first team shirt, they're good enough to hold on to it.
Just finally on injuries, is there any update on sort of what we already know in terms of the players who are out?
Now, Cannon had a groin injury. He'll be out 2 to 3 weeks, I think. And both Brown and Watmore are progressing well. They'll be the first two back. And in and around, I think, about the crew in the Oxford games is more likely than Plymouth.
Blues boss Kenny Jackett there with a look ahead to tomorrow night's trophy fixture, as well as an injury update too. Still to come tonight, the three of us here will be looking ahead to tomorrow night's trophy game under the lights at PO4. And it's last orders to get your predictions into the panel, as we've only got, well, under quarter of an hour left of the show remaining now. All the ways to get in touch with us before 7 o'clock, if you somehow don't know them by now, can be found on our website, expressfm.com. The remainder of your Monday night football hour is on the way next.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7
Express FM.
Welcome back to the third and final part of tonight's Football Hour, sponsored this season by Stagecoach Across the South, who provide frequent, reliable and fast travel across the great waterfront city and beyond. Please remember that a face covering is required to travel on public transport at the moment. Head over to stagecoach.co.uk for more information regarding the latest COVID-19 guidelines. Right, Ben, let's get straight into the preview of tomorrow night's floodlit trophy fixture. The Blues play host to the West Ham United under-21s at Fratton Park. Both sides have already secured a place in the knockout stages of the competition, but at stake for Pompey in this fixture is home advantage for the next. That's only if they avoid defeat against the Hammers. Let's hear now from Mason Jordan, who has a closer inspection of this week's opposition.
It's yet another swift return to action for Pompey this midweek. Following on from Saturday's FA Cup triumph at Ipswich, the Blues now face a challenge in the Papa John's Trophy. That challenge comes in the form of West Ham under-21s.
Pompey Live, this week's opposition.
Both the Blues and the Young Hammers have already progressed through to the knockout stages of this year's EFL Trophy. However, at stake at Fratton Park in the final group stage fixture is a home advantage into round 32. Here's what we know about the renowned Academy of Football prior to the clash at PO4.
Manager.
Former Colchester United Academy coach Dmitry Halechko is the man leading the Young Hammers from the dugout. Halechko had been in charge of the under-23s team since July 2019 and has overseen 30 matches, conjuring an average of 1.1 points per game. He also has experience elsewhere in England, holding academy managerial and coaching positions at Norwich City, Leicester City, before moving to East London last year.
One to watch.
Our pick for this one this week is midfielder Mesakju. The 21-year-old has worn the number 36 shirt over the course of the group stages and has proved to be quite the handful for the likes of Southend and Colchester defences. Ju, who was once of the Benfica youth set-up in Portugal, moved to East London permanently last January on a free transfer, having made 8 appearances in 2 years for Benfica B. A skillful winger is eligible to play for the Portuguese national team despite being born in Bissau. He's already represented Portugal all the way through from the under-16s to the under-20s, now patiently waiting for a first call-up to the senior team.
Top scorer.
The Young Hammers have scored 4 goals in the competition thus far, with the strikes split between just 2 players, who are therefore level as they head into today's game. 18-year-old former Manchester United Academy forward Adamapo Odebeko has netted twice, with one-time Lincoln City loanee Connor Coventry responsible for bagging the other two.
Current form.
Much like the Blues, the Hammers have recorded 2 wins from 2 before this tie. A 3-1 victory at Southend was followed by a 1-0 win over Colchester United, with both matches taking place in September. The West Ham under-21s have not been in action since the triumph at Colchester on September the 29th. In the Southern Section Group A, Pompey lead the standings due to a better goal difference than this week's opponents, with both sides level on 6 points. Can Pompey record an 18th consecutive victory in this competition, or will they be pegged back by the Premier League B team? All the unmissable action on Pompey Live.
A big shout out to Mason there, who provides a more in-depth look at tomorrow's challenge at Fratton Park. West Ham United under-21s. Now, ahead of the game, Sam, we know it's going to be a much changed Blues lineup. Kenny's already mentioned that in his pre-match interview. But one name who will be missing for tomorrow's match and will be missing for the match against Plymouth next Monday is Ronan Curtis. He's been called up to the Republic of Ireland squad, so he misses tomorrow in Plymouth. He plays against England on Thursday, so that will be a bit of a confidence boost for him, as we've already mentioned a few times this season and over the course of last season as well. But also a big miss for Pompey in particular next week.
Yeah, it's one of those, isn't it? It's like we want to have him playing for us, but again, we also, it's nice to see our players getting international honours. So, like, I mean, we want him to do well, and then, but then obviously he's got England as well, so there's a real conflict of interest with this one. But I think he almost scored, didn't he? He almost got his first goal for Ireland the last international break. I think it was against Finland. So he's getting closer. He's getting a lot more confidence. He was omitted from a few squads over the summer and that wasn't him, but he's got his way back into the side, and it's all good for him. It's only going to boost his club form as well. I think we know that Roland's a real confidence based player, so if he can get a good few minutes in the tank for Ireland, then it's not too detrimental to us, hopefully. Yeah.
On the emails, Graham Wilkins says, I don't care if Raggett scored a goal which was offside because at the end of the day, we won and VAR doesn't exist in these games. Thankfully, Graham, eh? We controlled the first half but let it slip in the second, and I think losing Andy Cadden did not help us. But the main thing is we won away yet again, which gives us momentum going into the league game a week Monday. I thought Hadji had a great game and was solid in the tackle and is definitely one for the future. Thank you to Graham Wilkins on the emails for getting in touch. And we've got one more tweet here from Gav Jones. Good evening, gents. Surely tomorrow night is the night for us to finally get a proper look at Jordi Hawula. I'd love to see a partnership between him and Ellis Harrison. Just a reminder to those that had problems with previous iFollow games too, tomorrow's game is free. Good point there from Gav on Twitter. If you've had previous problems with iFollow, with your streams, your connections as well, tomorrow's game against the West Ham under-21s will be available to watch for free. So a great opportunity for you to watch Pompey from back home, Pompey fans. Yeah, so looking at the squad for tomorrow, we already know it's going to be much changed, Jeff. You know, we've already touched upon that. But the likes of Jordi Hawula, Paul Downing and James Bolton, the gaffer has already earmarked, will be featuring tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah, it's a good chance for those in the academy group that are on the fringes of the first team to get some minutes under the belt, because, like Sam said at the beginning of the show, we're going to be reliant on these youth players, these younger team members that are coming through. You know, same as Down in the Bolton, I fully expect them to be the centre-back pairing tomorrow. Although Hadji may play centre-half, it has been mooted that he can play centre-half. So you never know with Kenny. He may go with a back three. He may go with Hadji in there, or more than likely be Bolton and Down in there, just to get some minutes into him.
Yeah.
We don't know how long Jack's going to be out for. I think it's another couple of weeks. Downing was interestingly on the bench on Saturday. So you just never know that one of those, Bolton or Downing, may be called up in the next couple of weeks if Raggett or Nicholson gets injured. And I'd quite like to see a really youthful team tomorrow night. And I know Kenny's alluded to that. And again, I like the idea of Hawula and Harrison up front. I think if we're going with Harness and Marquise up front in the league, those two need to build up a pairing and a partnership. And it's an ideal chance tomorrow night to start that off for those two.
I do agree with you, Jeff, but do you not think maybe, as much as, you know, we all want to see Jordi Hawula, we know he's probably going to start tomorrow. You mentioned Ellis Harrison, but would this not be a chance for Alfie Stanley to make his claim on the Fratton Park turf?
It may well be. You know, Alfie Stanley is one of those players that Pompey, he's never Connor Chaplin, isn't he? He's very similar to Connor Chaplin. So that's a really good shout. And, you know, if he starts, then great. It's more minutes for him and more experience for him against a very good West Ham under-23 team.
Yeah. Stephen Jerome on the emails, I think considering we've won the first two group games and we're already guaranteed to place in this next round of a trophy, I think maybe Kenny could actually give Hadji Manogra a start tomorrow night against West Ham's under-21s. I feel he's ready now for a place in the starting lineup. Moving on to the FA Cup second round draw, there's only one team I fancy getting. What a great derby game that would be. I wonder if there would be any chance of fans being allowed in to watch if that happens. I'm going for a 2-0 win tomorrow, says Stephen Jerome on the emails. And as much as I'd like to say there would be a chance, Stephen, I'd really, really cannot see it happening. We're still in lockdown, and the game happens just days after the end of lockdown. You never know. We're always hoping, Stephen, but it would still be great to get Hawks in the next round of the cup, that's for sure. Okay, then, let's get to some of these score predictions then. It's now time for that part of the show. I'm going to kickstart the guesses with one of my own. I reckon the Blues will win by 3-1. But what are you saying back home? Michael Charlton also says 3-1. Blake O'Neill is going for a 3-1 win tomorrow as well. Connor Christie says 2-0. Paul O'Neill says 3-0 to the Blues. Paul Hatch, the new PJ Trophy. Is this the one we could win before we get the chance to defend the previous one? Who knows, Paul? Hopefully. Peter Robinson says tricky one to call, 1-0. Chris Whitewick is going for a 3-1. Anthony Lee also says 3-1. And John Mumford is going for a 2-1 Pompey victory. So those were the predictions of the fans tuning in tonight. Thank you to everyone who got in touch this evening. Sam Carter, what are you going for, my friend?
A 3-3 draw, which we win on penalties.
Ooh, interesting. Sam, thank you, mate. How about you, Jeff? Pompey versus West Ham.
I'll go for 1-1 draw, and boring. Then we'll win penalties.
Boring. I prefer Sam's. Okay, Sam, Jeff, my thanks to the pair of you for joining me this evening. It's been a pleasure, as always, to have you back on the show. Have a safe evening, lads, and look forward to hearing from you both again soon.
Cheers, Jake. Thanks very much.
Cheers, Jake.
Cheers, guys. Thanks to everyone for getting in touch via the text, tweets and emails from back home too. I'm afraid that's all we've got time for tonight, but we've got even more Blues action on the way very soon. In fact, just under 24 hours' time.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
Portsmouth have found a way yet again.
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
The Blues put three past Ipswich on Saturday to progress into round two of the FA Cup. Up next, it's back to PO4, where Pompey welcome West Ham under-21s to town for EFL Trophy action. Join us for all of the unmissable action Tuesday evening from 7. Pompey versus West Ham under-21s, right here on Pompey Live.
Pompey Live on Express FM with Aqua Cars.
Don't miss that one. Find out if Pompey can make it 18 wins a row in the EFL Trophy tomorrow evening. Myself, Ryan, and special guest Henry Deacon will have you covered from 6 o'clock. On the way tonight, however, Jeff and Adrian have the latest music from the likes of Kim Edgar, Sarah Violin and Elvis Costello when the Soft Rock Show returns after the 7 o'clock headlines. They'll be here until 9 o'clock this evening. And then the lads hand over to Liam Howes, who kicks off a brand new show tonight, Express Evenings from 9pm through till 11, where Liam has nothing but the greatest tunes and plenty of chat too. And I hear he'll be delivering some timeless classics and some power ballads as well. So be sure not to miss that one. I'm sure it's going to be a good one. Your next football instalment, of course, comes this time tomorrow evening. Pompey Live is back with EFL Trophy action, and it's the visit of the West Ham under-21s on the agenda this week, with both sides aiming to finish top of their group. I'll be back with the Football Hour at the same time on Friday evening. Ryan Stilwell and Tom Malley will be joining me to preview Pompey's league trip to Plymouth Argyle. That game takes place at Home Park on Monday evening as opposed to Saturday due to the game being broadcast on TV, which means next week's Monday Football Hour has been put back to the Tuesday as a one-off special. So be sure to join us for the Tuesday Football Hour next week. That'll be at the usual time of 6 till 7. But until next time, Pompey fans, I bid you farewell. A great evening and also a safe week too. Play up, Pompey, and good night.